Hello, my lovely spinners, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, Spinning a Yarn at the Spinning Barn, where I chat all about the goings on here at the barn and on my little farm to support and inspire you all, I hope. And if this is your first visit, then you are very welcome, and I hope that you enjoy listening to my ramblings. And if you've tuned in before, then I am thrilled to know that you're back in the fold. Welcome home. So, what can I tell you about the month of June? Well, it seems like a distant blur, even though I'm actually recording this on June the 30th. But I do know that it's been a really busy month. Our house extension started, and stopped again. All thanks to delays in building materials. I had no intention of waiting 12 weeks for the bricks I had chosen, so I promptly chose a different one that was promised to be delivered in a week, which is now 2 days from today, so I'll keep you informed. Hopefully when they arrive and the builders can get back and get stuck in, can't they? And if you've tuned in last month, you'll know that we were all so excited at the surprise arrival of a new foal, whom we named Bluebell, which was perfect for the month of May as the bluebells were in full bloom. And both Mummy Tinkerbell and her baby are doing very well indeed as she continues to grow at an alarming rate. But she is still so gorgeous and it's quite an amazing experience. The children absolutely love her. She's just beautiful. I can spend ages just watching, but of course watching one's livestock and animals is very important stuff, so that's what I do. Anyway, but my main news has to be that the Spinning Barn reopened in June with a frenzy of bookings. Well, it seemed that way after a year of nothingness, and postponed bookings finally happened too. I simply cannot thank you all enough for your continued support. It really does mean so much to me. I have had new spinners who have fallen in love with this fascinating craft, and more experienced spinners who are keen to increase their spinning knowledge in one way or another. And that was quite exciting. We have laughed so much. It's been brilliant. I love it. And Zoom sessions have continued too. And I can feel and see my spinning community growing by the day. I have truly found some wonderful friends, all thanks to spinning, and I count myself as being very lucky indeed. However, lots of workshops has meant lots of cakes, and I can feel the pounds going on already. I must find that willpower that I have obviously stashed away somewhere for safekeeping. I've been working on improving my little garden area around the barn, and James and Zoe have both accompanied me to the local plant nursery and kept my shopping in check. And I think it looks really pretty and it's created a really pleasant little seating area in which to enjoy lunch or a cuppa. At the moment, I'm looking out onto a host of assorted rose blooms, wavy grasses and shrubs all displaying their summer colours. In the evening, the honeysuckle's fragrance is divine as I walk by, which brings me swiftly onto another subject, the fragrance of which could not be more opposed to the humble honeysuckle. In series 1, episode 3, excuse me, I talked about washing sheep fleece. Gosh, that seems ages ago, doesn't it? But as shearing season is well and truly upon us, or even over for most, the subject deserves a timely revisit to help us all get those fleeces in tip-top condition in preparation for spinning. And the method for discussion this month is called the Suint fermentation method of cleaning a fleece. Now, I shall start this by assuring you that despite the information to come, you must believe me that the results will be worth it. And actually, you may find it less time consuming and more efficient than the usual method of washing a fleece, which requires more of your attention. Now, this method suits my foggy old forgetful brain, as it improves the results if I forget about it, or if I simply don't have the time for that languishing fleece that's hidden in the corner of my veg plot. Now, don't be put off. Listen on and be prepared to be amazed. So let's begin with an explanation of what the suet fermentation method actually is, shall we? Simply explained, it's the process of leaving a fleece or part of a fleece to soak in a tub of water for a couple of weeks and allow the magic of bacteria to create the natural soaps from the lanolin in the fleece, which will do all the hard work of removing the dirt and the grease for you. Who wouldn't want to make any job easier, I ask? You will probably still need to wash and rinse it at the end, but that part of the task will be far easier with all of that lanolin already removed. It also prevents that dirty water from entering any sensitive drainage systems, and particularly removes the need for washing a fleece in your bath or washing machine. Oh yes, it does happen. Not in my house, but it does happen. So again, I'll try and explain this quite methodically for you to help you grasp the idea so that you too can give it a go. But obviously, you know I'm here to help you. If you need any advice along the way, just shout and I'll be more than happy to give as many or as much advice as I can. Right, so down to serious bits. Oh, just hear me pull my chair in then. I'm concentrating now, okay. So firstly, please consider where you are going to conduct this process. It will get smelly. It will not be pleasant. It will not be hygienic in terms of if there are children or animals around. It needs to be undisturbed for a few weeks possibly. So do take that into consideration. Find a nice corner of your garden somewhere that isn't frequented, that you know you could safely leave your bins of fermenting fleece in. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? It's not that bad, don't worry. Now, make sure that you have the essentials of rubber gloves, a disposable apron for when you come to remove the fleece, eye protection, I think might be a good idea actually, in case of splashes. And your old COVID masks will come in very useful too. How about that for recycling? Now, all of you know me well, so I offer this advice on the premise of a do as I say, not as I do, as always. On one occasion, my hands were stinky for days because I couldn't be bothered to go and get my gloves. Another lesson learned. Don't do the same as me. Now, you will need to collect rainwater. And fortunately, British weather is ideal for this. Rainwater doesn't contain the minerals of calcium, magnesium, and iron, all of which will react with the natural soap making process, and it creates an unpleasant scum, which you'll actually find quite difficult to remove. If you can't gather enough rainwater, then just fill lots of containers with tap water, but leave it for a few days to let all those chemicals that are in it just dissipate as well. And I understand that that makes it more appropriate to use for this process. You will need large, dark coloured containers, for example, a dustbin with a well-fitting lid, plastic storage boxes with lids, etc., but they must be dark to prevent the water turning green while you wait for the magic to happen. A close-fitting lid will also prevent flies and other insects from getting into the container, which again is vital for this process. Now, I've been experimenting with this process and I've used dustbins with lids, dustbins without, and plastic trugs without lids, but I've put black compost bags that I've emptied and saved. They were clean, obviously, no bits of compost falling into my wool. And I've tied those very tightly over the top, and that has worked really well as well. So, you know, there are always ways of recycling and using what we've got laying around, isn't there? Now, the fleeces will need to be submerged under the water. To do this, I found that I placed a layer of black plastic again for my old compost bags. And I used 2 empty 6-pint milk cartons, which I filled with water, and placed that on top of the plastic so that it just pressed it all down. And it did hold the fleece down under the water really well. So again, a bit more recycling. I'm getting good at this, aren't I? Now then, Before we start, the fleece must be very well skirted. You might find it easier to divide it into manageable portions, particularly if it's a large fleece, because a soaking wet fleece will be very heavy and difficult to manage, especially when it is, you know, really dirty and smelly, and you want to, well, not dirty, but it's not going to be dirty, it will be very smelly. You might want, you know, to find an easiest way of managing this process. And also, you don't want to damage the lock structure in your lovely fleece either. I think one of the good things about this process is that it doesn't require you to actually do anything other than putting it into the water, taking it out, rinsing it. We're not agitating it in any way. There is far less risk of any agitation because we're not actually using any detergents at this stage either, so there's less handling. It's a much better process, it's much kinder on your fleeces, and it really does help to retain that important lock structure so that you can really see what you're working with when you come to spin with it. So you might find it easier to use smaller net laundry bags, and it just to help you handle the fleece during this process, just makes life a little bit easier. Remove any part of the fleece that might be contaminated, perhaps sheep feces, any double cuts, any vegetable matter. Give the fleece a really good shake to help remove all of those little bits. But obviously remember that vegetable matter often just sticks to the grease at this stage. So if you're finding that removing that is difficult, just leave it. Because once you've actually removed the lanolin, when you've cleaned this fleece, it'll be easier to remove that once the lanolin is removed and it isn't as sticky. And obviously, as you come to start processing it next in your preparation stages, perhaps with your combing, that will definitely help to remove any remaining bits of vegetable matter anyway. Right, so take your submerged fleece and submerge it into your prepared bath of rainwater. And as I said, just ensuring that it remains under the water. Fit the lid well. The bin full of fleece will now be left for several days or weeks, depending on the weather. And better results are achieved when the weather is warm, to heat the contents of the bin, which causes the fermentation process. So just think about the weather condition. Watch the weather forecast for a while. We just had a couple of weeks of really lovely warm weather, which was not great for the gardens, not great for the animals, but it was great for this process. It really did help to heat those bins up. I could have done with a little bit longer, I think, and the temperature did cool. So I have left most of mine in place at the moment. So check it after a few days. And if it's working, it will smell awful. I actually wondered if the sheep was still attached at one point. But this just indicates that the process is actually working. It's exactly what you need to happen. It's only a smell. Don't worry. And there should also be bubbles forming on the top of the water. And that indicates that the natural saponification process, that's the soap making process from the lanolin, has started. This is good stuff. It looks horrible, but it's good. Replace the lid and leave it for a couple more days or so. Now, as I said, depending on the weather conditions, this can take perhaps even a couple more weeks. But if you're extra busy or you've just forgotten about it, like I tend to do, don't worry, don't panic, the wool will be fine. I'm sure that if you left it in there for months upon end, it would eventually start to degrade, of course it would. But you know, for a few weeks, it's going to be fine. And in fact, it will probably do it even better. You probably even get even better even better cleaned fleece. Does that make sense? Right, I'm currently experimenting with this method. I've got three bins in my vegetable garden, but I've also got one small one in my greenhouse. Now, I've done that to test out if the additional heat from the greenhouse has any effect on the cleaning process as well. I'm just trying to find ways that we can speed all these things up a little bit in our busy lives. But at the time of recording this today, the weather really has turned cool and the process hasn't quite completed. So I can't yet confirm if the tub in the greenhouse was more successful or not. Obviously, I will keep you informed and I'll report back on that. Now, when you're satisfied that the process is complete, remove the fleece and leave it to drain on a mesh rack if possible. I've got a frame that's made up of my skirting, it's a skirting frame. It's a wooden frame, rectangular frame with chicken wire over the top. And that's just perfect. I just leave that raised up on a few bricks or something, so the water can all just drain through. And it just helps to remove most of that dirty water before you start rinsing it, so that the rinse water is able to do its job effectively as well. Also, I found that it helps to do this on a rainy day as well. So I did take some out this morning when it was pouring with rain at 6:45 this morning. So again, it just helps obviously just to rinse that through for you before you start doing the hard work yourself, okay? Now, and then with as much water removed as possible, it's time to leave it to dry. And this is the good bit. You can really, really see at this point how your fleece has cleaned. You will see a difference. And I promise that when this fleece is completely dry, the smell will disappear. Okay, completely disappear, and you will wonder what you were worried about. Now, the remaining fermented water should be kept in the bin, so don't tip that out, just keep that, and you can use that for subsequent fleeces. And the older the water, the better the results will be subsequently, because the accumulated grease from each fleece improves the saponification process, because there's more lanolin there building up to create the new soap. Now, the remaining rinsing water that you use, you can actually use that on your garden. Now, if you're going to be using this in your vegetable plot like I do, please think about where you're pouring it. This is dirty water. I'm only using the rinsing water to do this, but again, always, always wash your vegetables. Now, I have decided that I will only use mine on things that are vegetables that are enclosed, like my sweet corn or things in pods, so that there's no risk of anybody walking by and just pinching something out of the garden and munching as they go past. It's actually a bad habit that I've got. You know, if I see a strawberry or something, I will pick it and eat it then and there. It never gets to the kitchen. So do please consider that, okay, from a hygiene point of view. It obviously, whatever you take out of the garden must be washed before you eat it. So think about where you're pouring it. You might want to just use it on your flower garden instead, that's fine. Or don't use it at all. Entirely your choice, but I have given you the warning. Now, it's not absolutely necessary to re-wash a fleece at this stage. It really depends on the fleece that went in. I have washed a Ryland using the Suent method, and that has come out beautifully, beautifully clean. I am going to give it a little wash just to freshen it up as part of this process, just as part of my experimentation on a different fleece. But actually, I would be happy to work with that as it is. That was such a clean fleece before it even went into the bath. It was, you know, it didn't really need an awful lot of effort at all. It's wonderful. On the other end of the spectrum, I have got a Leicester long wool, which, oh my goodness, it's a very, very heavy grease. It's really, really greasy. And I decided specifically to use this process for it because I had previously washed some using my normal method and I could not get it clean unless I did it lock by lock. And I wasn't prepared to do that with such an enormous fleece. So that is ongoing and that will be rewashed. Now just do that in exactly the same way as you would normally wash a fleece, but you'll probably find that you would need much, much less detergent, which is great. It really is just a case of just freshening it up a little bit, I think, really. And again, less detergent, good for the environment and all of that, isn't it? When you are satisfied with your finished fleece and it's perfectly dry, remember now to store it safely and securely using breathable containers, something like cotton pillowcases or paper feed bags. But do remember to seal them really well to prevent moth and vermin infestation, and label them with all the pertinent information that you may need about the contents. What type of fleece is it? When was it shorn? When was it packaged? which sheep did it belong to, what breed, etc., etc. Anything that you need to know so that you can check the content without having to keep opening it, okay? And even if you open it, sometimes we forget, don't we? Again, ask me how I know. So these will keep quite safely now, waiting your spinning attention. There, I told you it was easy. Now, I do hope that you give this method a go. I know it isn't perhaps for the faint-hearted, but ease, less need for timely attention, and potentially more eco-friendly conditions make this age-old method really great to use. And I quite like that idea. Now, where is that peg for my nose, I wonder? Right, that's the end of my little ramblings for this month. It's been lovely having a little chat to you and with you, and I really, really look forward to hearing all about your efforts at washing a fleece, or maybe just part of a fleece, using this method if you haven't done it before. Or perhaps if you did try, like me, and you chickened out a few years ago, maybe now's the time to give it another go. It is really simple and it is really effective. I hope you've enjoyed that. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to seeing you all again at the end of July. And that won't be long, will it? Bye for now. Love to you all.